Hello, this is Jules.
And Jem, and you're listening to
Trans in the South.
We usually do that together.
Trans in the South.
All right, let's try that again.
And you're listening to Trans in the South. Today, we have a very special guest, Catherine Werbianski. Catherine teaches voice for singing, I think, as well as she does transgender voice training. Catherine, welcome.
Yeah, welcome.
Hey, thanks for having me.
We've actually both trained with her in the past. Mm-hmm. So we're really excited to be here.
You are not based in the South.
I'm not. I am a Southside suburban Chicago native, but properly lived in the city for the past 10 years now.
And you have been voice training for how long?
I've been teaching singing voice for probably about 7-8 years now. I've been teaching gender affirming voice care for the past 5 years.
Okay.
And I have more recently become a trauma informed care practitioner and teach trauma informed singing. And that's been my kind of focus for the past 2 years now.
I cannot wait to talk about that.
Yeah,
that sounds so cool. Before we get too much into it, let's introduce ourselves in case folks are new. I'm Jem. I am a non-binary lesbian. And is there something else that we usually talk about?
Yeah, that's it.
It's been a while since we've had a guest. Sorry. We usually just talk to each other.
I am Jules, and I am transgender woman and a lesbian also.
I identify, my pronouns are she, her, hers.
That's what we were going to say. It's pronouns. Sorry.
Yeah, my name is Catherine. My pronouns are she, her, hers. I identify as queer and pan.
Great. We're so excited to have you.
We are so excited to have you.
And my pronouns are they, them.
And mine are she, her. So you're in Chicago. We just finished a podcast talking about our experience in Chicago this past weekend.
It was great.
Catherine, you and I have known each other for, 3 or 4 years now, I think. And I want to apologize our listening audience because I may be getting a little touch of laryngitis.
Oh.
I'm drinking my tea and doing a podcast.
Yeah. And then since I met Jules and we were talking about voice training, and I was like, wow, you know, it'd be really cool if I had like a more masculine type voice that I could use. And then Catherine and I hooked up and we ended up, that sounded weird. And then Catherine and I met and we did not hook up. We met online and she did some great voice training with me also, which I'm still used to this day. In fact, you know, I was cast as a queer male teenager.
Oh, awesome.
Recently.
Cool. So awesome. I'm glad the skills are working for you.
They're still working. Yeah. And I was able to put into that, you know, it's that youthful male but still feminine thing, which is what we were working on.
Yeah, absolutely. Mixing it all up to your delight.
It was training with her was so cool. Just learning about all the different habits that you learn without even knowing it.
Oh, yes. The things we pick up from society and culture and our first caregivers and everything, we are full of vocal imprints. And it's interesting to go on journeys with people where we kind of discover, well, if you had more choice in the matter, what's your druthers? What would you like? Let's try.
Yeah.
You know, I got to tell you, it's very interesting living with Jem because they've got an everyday voice, as we all do. And then sometimes they have this kind of more masculine voice. And then sometimes I listen to their work as a voice actor, and it's an entirely different voice.
I have several entirely different voices.
Maybe, your name should be Sybil, not Jem.
You know what I think? You know, the way that we make different sounds uses a lot of different energy from within us. And so I think it speaks to the different kind of archetypal, you know, sounds that exist within all of us. And if you can hone in on a few that bring out different qualities within you, it's cool to get to play with your voice like a color palette like that.
Yes, exactly. And so how did you learn all this? I imagine you were trained in singing.
Yes, I have my undergrad and master's degrees were in vocal performance. And so I got a lot of vocal pedagogy work done there. Uh-huh. And then I trained under Liz Jackson Hearns, who has written two different books on singing, trans voice, and gender-affirming voice care. So trained with them for about 3 years pretty intensively. Yeah. So worked on that as it became like a burgeoning need that the voice teaching world went, oh my gosh, there's this whole community that we could be helping with our skill set, you know, and working in tandem with other speech paths and kind of a melding of vocal worlds has really opened up in the past, you know, I'd say like 5 to 10 years in the voice pedagogy world, which is really cool to see.
And how did you get interested in the whole trans gender-affirming voice care field?
Yeah, I've never asked you that, and I've always wondered.
Sure. So, well, when I was working and training with this teacher, with Liz, at first it was something that the universe just kind of asked of them as an author, because they kept getting more and more trans clients saying, you know, I need help with my voice, and I don't have, my insurance won't cover me seeing a speech path, and I can't afford that out of pocket. And so it really became something that was built out of a communal necessity in Chicago, which was really cool to see. And so with their extensive training and knowledge, and then, you know, doing lots of different kinds of workshops and things on my own, it, you know, just serving the community and seeing what a huge need it was in Chicago was really cool and exciting to be a part of. Yeah. So just by proxy of working where I worked, I happened upon a craft and a trade of voice need and education that didn't know was in the world, and kind of stumbled into it and fell in love with being able to help people find their most affirming sound.
You must have met a lot of interesting transgender people.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And it's kind of where the whole journey that I'm on now into, working more with trauma-informed voice care. You know, when you're working with a marginalized community and you see all of the way our bodies hold on to this kind of sense of trauma and energy and how it gets stuck, particularly in sound production and the voice, mm-hmm. you know, it goes hand in hand. So if I just kind of realized, you know, if I'm going to really holistically try to hold space for this community, there's a lot of different areas of knowledge and education I need to keep continuing with. So yeah, I've taught people having lessons in bathroom stalls, in cars, you know, because they are having their lessons on the down low and they're working on their voice and, you know, stealthily trying to do things. And yeah.
So I was going to make sure we clarified that because I don't know how many of our listeners are in the South. That's just our podcast. But you don't have to live in Chicago to be able to take lessons from you. Right?
That is true. I work in a collective of teachers, actually, with two others. And one other of our teachers at Voice Revolution is also trained in gender-affirming speech. So between the two of us, we host a free once a month kind of club called Gender Voice Euphoria, and try to hold space just for questions and inquiries and just kind of having a space for online community. So yeah, we teach voice virtually. So no matter where you are.
Tell us more about that, about what you were just talking about.
Can people hook up with that?
Yeah.
Oh, so if you go to voicerevolution.com, we have on our website, you can go to there and sign up with Alexa or I if you are interested in gender-affirming voice, or if you're interested in singing or trans voice singing, because sometimes there are some other kind of things that come up with the singing mechanism as well. And it's nice to know that you have someone that can hold that kind of space for you. So yeah, singing and speech lessons, voicerevolution.com, or send us a shout out on Instagram and we can connect that way as well.
What kind of trauma, when you say voice trauma, is this people who are having like psychological trauma that's reflected in their voice, or is that trauma to the voice apparatus?
Sometimes it can be one and the same. Sometimes they are different things. Okay. I have worked with people that come in where they are either pre-nodular, meaning they have like the capacity of almost having vocal nodes, or people with different kind of vocal dysfunction things, but that's not really my true expertise. I often, if it's severe enough, I'll refer them to somebody else. But my training is more with how the mind and body are connected through the psyche. And when we want to use our body as our instrument, our body takes the shape of our experiences. And if our tongue and jaw has been told, be quiet, you don't get to make sound, or I often have a lot of people where they come in and really they're there to reclaim their singing voice, because as a child they were told, you know, like, you don't get to be in choir or sing quieter in church. That's, you know, you're more of a voice that needs to be blended. And they, you know, we take other people's opinions as our truth, and we grow up holding onto those wounds so deeply. And it makes me so sad that anybody thinks that they don't deserve to use their voice and sing as loud as they want. So.
Yes. I remember there's a girl. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just gonna say I am here to be a vocal hype person.
Yes,
that's my job.
That's awesome, and you do such a good job. You're so encouraging.
You're very encouraging.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. I'm glad.
I remember I knew somebody with an instance of that in college. She
an instance of
that vocal trauma. She was a major in voice performance, like I was, in musical theater. And she sang so quietly.
Sure.
Like, she just couldn't even get on her voice at all. Mm-hmm. And we were asking her about it one time, and she was like, oh, well, you know, whenever I was at home when I was a kid, people said I was too loud and I sang too loud. And so, and she like literally couldn't physically do it. Mm-hmm, after all those years of being told to be quiet. I wonder if she ever got past it. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, those kinds of like psychological and creative and artistic blocks like that. I tend to work a lot with like energy work a lot of times too. So we'll come into chakra work and, you know, Jungian archetypal work and going into those energy centers in the body and locating where that shame tends to sit, and seeing if that there are ways that we can help people rewrite those narratives for themselves and start to reclaim that space within their body, which then allows them to use their voice and their instrument at their will. So it's a lot of it is throat chakra healing work is definitely the kind of area that I am in.
And what kind of results are you seeing, Catherine?
Over time, you start to see people really changing these patterns that have been lodged in their psyche and their system and their body and held within for so long that over time, just to have someone witness your truth, your story, your voice, your narrative, the song you want to write, the kind of way you want to speak and use your voice and speech, just to have someone, I think, hold that space to witness you and to allow you that space to safely and slowly kind of unfold and reveal what it is you would like to do with your instrument and your sound. It's, you know, it's pretty rare in our society that we have places for, you know, grown adults to be listened to and seen and heard. Yeah, I think the results that I'm starting to see are just a reclamation of self in the most radical way. A lot of people finding, you know, like, I didn't know this song was in me. I had no idea that there was an album in me. And look at now here I am recording this. You know, a lot of creativity is blossoming from it.
Now I want to sign up. And I use my voice every day.
Absolutely. Yeah, and if you're somebody that works in the industry, my gosh, the kind of trauma that you can come up against.
Yeah.
You know, be telling you what your voice is or isn't, how it should be used, what's going to make it most profitable. You know, I think for professional voice users to have a space held for them where you don't have to think about constantly optimizing yourself. What does it mean to just be with your voice and to allow it and accept it and hold it?
Ooh, that's really good. We'll talk after.
Yeah.
Because I do feel completely separated from my radio voice. Like, it's not me. It is somebody else.
It's hard for me to recognize.
Yeah.
The person sometimes.
It's a total mask is what it is. It's 100% just masking. Hmm. And I don't know that really serves my work really well. But anyway, we're here to talk about you.
So can we take a little detour if you feel comfortable with it? And if you don't, Catherine, we will edit this question out.
Sure. Yeah.
But I was going to ask about your personal journey, your personal queer journey a little bit, if you felt comfortable talking about it.
Oh, yeah. I'm a total open book. Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, you didn't always identify as queer. I guess nobody always did, but
Dean
did.
But Dean was born sashaying out of the womb.
Yeah.
Hello.
But I think most people have a point where they kind of go through a period of discovery.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Still discovering. It's still not over.
Well, you know? Good point. Yeah. So can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, with where I grew up and everything, I think just, you know, Midwestern, South Side, Irish, Polish, Ukrainian kind of folk, the neighborhood. And it was just, you know, you had maybe one out person in high school.
Right.
And you know, it was just not the queer awakening that we are existing in. Gen Z is ushering in right now.
Yes.
So, yeah, always had those kinds of like thoughts and feelings, but just thought, well, that can't be, because I also really like I just wanted to bang everyone.
I relate.
I didn't understand that was okay. And also like a big, you know, heavy dose of religious trauma with the fact that I grew up with in a Orthodox church. So like Greek, Russian, combination. And my dad is still the deacon.
Oh no, really?
Yeah. And like now everything's cool. He's super open and accepting, but you know, growing up, my folks loved Pat Buchanan. They loved. Super kind of like Catholic conservative kind of values was what I grew up with.
Yeah.
They raised three very queer rebellious daughters. And
really? They deserve a pat on the back.
Well done.
Brought them over to the dark left side with us. So it's been an incredible journey as I've, you know, kind of discovered more of my queerness over time. But yeah, took a mulligan marriage, tried the old standard, let's marry a man, and
that been there.
Didn't quite feel right and was highly toxic and not great, and narrowly escaped. And upon my escape went, oh, I'm definitely dating ladies now.
Very relatable.
Yeah, kind of like a very short mini version of it. And I'm now with my lovely partner who I will be getting married to in June.
Oh, congratulations. That's so great.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah.
Wow, so wedding planning time.
It's coming. It's happening.
Wow.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
You getting married in Chicago?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're in this neighborhood called Rogers Park, and it's really special up here. It's a different kind of breed of folk up here, I think. So we're going to keep it local and get married on the beach. And then we rented our car on the streets and just keeping it all local vendor neighborhood kind of wedding.
That sounds so great. We were in Old Town this weekend.
That's where we were staying.
We were staying in Old Town.
So. Yeah, Old Town's great.
Well, gosh, Catherine, that's so fabulous. We're so excited.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you.
So you now identify, you said, as pan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think upon getting divorced, it was kind of like, well, if my inkling was always like, just give me a person that's interesting. Let's see what clicks. Let's try that. And
right.
It fit and it felt right.
I think Jim has often described themselves as what? Pansexual and homoromantic.
Yeah, that's about right. Yeah, I could bang a dude, but I wouldn't want to like be in a relationship with one. That's kind of where I'm at.
I think it would take a real special
really really special guy. I could marry a gay man, sure. But he wouldn't want me, so
there's that.
And then we could never agree on anything decorating related, I'm sure. So
I figured out that there were two guys that I thought I could maybe make it with. But one of them was dead and the other one was fictional. And so
who was the dead one? Like a celebrity?
It's so odd. I was just sitting around and I put on, I'm a big fan of reggae music. Mm-hmm. And I just put on this video of Bob Marley singing Stir It Up. And I looked at him and I thought, he's lovely. And it was really a new experience for me. But of course,
I love Bob Marley. That makes me so happy. I better fact check this, but I'm pretty sure Bob Marley converted to being Orthodox at the end of his life.
Really?
Yeah. Isn't that a strange thing?
It's very odd because his brand was so Rasta.
Right. Right. You know,
That's very interesting. Well, that's cool. I thought you were going to say he
transitioned
or became gay or something like that.
I mean, when you look back on it, though, I'm sure there are so many people that had modern science and medical opportunities. Like you think of Prince or Bowie or, you know.
Oh, yeah. Mick Jagger.
Yeah.
My other person who was not only fictional, but gay male and underage. Who I also just think is absolutely adorable is Kurt Hummel from Glee.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Uh-uh. I just want to be him.
Well, there's that.
I'm but pretty close to I Kurt, ever honestly.
I was going
to
say, you've got some Kurt energy going on.
Oh, absolutely. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I just had the biggest crush on
me?
Kurt. Well, I always had a crush on you.
Just checking.
Well, yeah. But anyway, yeah. I mean, I binge watch Glee sometimes just to see Kurt.
It's really funny that you, I'm remembering.
We're going to edit all that out, I'm sure. But anyway.
Why would we do that? This is a great conversation.
Okay.
I love being the editing god. Say something stupid. I decide if it stays in. There's this girl that I went to college with. Oh, again, got another college story. But I remember we had a conversation when we were in college. And we were both like, wow, you know, like girls are just like objectively way hotter than guys. Yeah. Do you think so? Oh, yeah, absolutely. Everybody thinks that. Oh, okay. So that's just like normal. Yeah. I mean, it's like objective fact. Right. And now we're really close friends again after a hiatus. And it turns out she's bi and I'm gay. So
yeah.
Yep. we had a good laugh about that.
We didn't have the vocabulary.
We didn't.
No.
There's so much vocabulary we never had. You know, growing up, I think a lot of younger people nowadays take all this transition for granted a little bit, but, you know, it's pretty recent that I would say since 2014, 2015, that really we had any kind of national vocabulary for transgender matters at all.
Absolutely.
And now everyone puts their pronouns in their Instagram bio.
Now, right. You go to Instagram or someplace and people, yeah, they have their pronouns. And I'm just thinking.
My work people still have no idea how to do it, but it's fine. You know, baby steps.
I mean, to see it become more normalized for people to have to use pronouns has been like an incredible thing to see over the past few years, especially.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have a lot of them be friends now.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're everywhere. We're everywhere.
Like, Karen works in corporate America-ish kind of territory, and to see, you know, these like old cis white dudes that are like, oh yes, he, him, you know, and they're like,
that's
great.
Like, you know, they do it just like that.
Here we go. Let's do it.
Yeah.
In small Southern America, that's not quite as common, I don't think.
No, it's not, unfortunately. Yeah. Well, that's why we want to tell those stories.
Coming whether they like it or not, you know?
Yeah, it is.
The queers will inherit the earth.
We could only imagine.
In our last few minutes, I would love to just kind of get any little nugget of advice you might have for trans feminine people and then for trans masculine people about how to start going about changing their voice to suit their identity a little bit.
Sure,
like there's like one major point.
Absolutely. So, of course, the first thing everybody starts to kind of go, oh, my pitch.
I must raise it, lower it.
And the secret sauce is your resonance and your sympathetic vibrations. You have one voice. I think head voice and chest voice is a misnomer. Mm-hmm. Really, you have one beautiful, gorgeous, divine, whole, lovely instrument. And through different kinds of noticings and awareness, you can start to shift where you tend to kind of like turn the lights on in one part of the resonance versus another. So if you were a trans femme, I would maybe start playing around with bringing your hands to the bridge of your nose and the top of your cheekbones and seeing what it's like to buzz and make resonance patterns vibrate through there without tying it to pitch necessarily, right? Just kind of going, what's it like if I just aim that feeling and that general energy and awareness towards what we call like the mask of our face. So like right behind the eyes. And then opposite of that, if you're a trans mask, start playing around without necessarily worrying about sending that pitch deep, deep, deep into the basement, playing around with putting your hand on your chest and lowering and noticing those vibrations, taking more precedence in there. And just starting with the awareness of where you vibrate as you make sound. So just to give like your listeners a little speaking example of that, I can take a pitch that's like a little bit fairly lower in my range, but I can start to turn on my forward resonance with that and make a little bit of a different shape with my larynx and my tongue. And it makes me sound a little more femme, a little more younger. If I really go for it, then I turn into a kid, right? But then if I take that same pitch and I open up and drop my larynx, it's the exact same pitch, but all of a sudden I'm operating at a much different, much lower sensation in my resonance. So the pitch is just one little tool. So start really kind of feeling for where you vibrate and where you send your air. Even just visualizing it will make a huge difference.
You know, since we've been working together, I have noticed on TikTok, I sent you some sort of link to one person, but I've noticed a lot of people on TikTok whose pitches, they're women identifying people, AFAB. Clearly assigned female at birth, and their pitches are sometimes even lower than my pitch, but their voice is unquestionably female. It really has almost nothing to do with the pitch.
It's a filtration process. So if you can take, have you ever, like, as a little kid, would you ever stand in front of a fan and be like, wow, wow, and make like,
yes,
you could totally do it with your phone playing a song or something. That's a great kind of fun way to play with. Okay. If my mouth shape does this, how does that affect the overtones and undertones that are popping out?
Right. And there's that, I feel like there's a lesbian voice too. Like there's this, like, you know what I'm talking about though? It's like this butch voice.
I do.
It feels like it's like the pitch is lower and it's kind of like more monotone. And it's like, hey dudes, you know, like I'm going to the Home Depot and I know what the fuck I'm getting. Cause I'm like really, really butch.
It's interesting because over time, like what I've seen from a lot of clients is, especially like the more Gen Z related, like younger crowd that I'll work with, there's this want for total gender confusion.
Yes,
it's true. Love it. They're like, I don't think it's anybody's business, and I want them to just have no idea what a beautiful amalgamation of feminine traits that I can possess and flow between. And I'm like, let's go. That's incredible. How wonderful.
It is.
It's so fun to confuse people.
You know, another thing I think that's neglected sometimes is vocabulary. I saw a list of like 20 words that men tend not to use. Fabulous. Straight.
I was going to say fabulous.
Nope. Marvelous. Delightful. Just a lot of words that tend to be more feminine use words. And it's just such a large world out there. And you see people come in and just think pitch is going to do it. Anybody who has any questions about that should watch Some Like It Hot, one of my favorite movies. Because here's Jack Lemmon and Tony Curtis, and they are basically dressed as, I mean, it's, they're not transgender. The characters are not transgender. They're trying to get away from somebody. And
disguised as women.
Disguised as women, but their whole way of talking like women is just to get their voice up.
And just to put the pitch.
Change is their pitch. And it was really fun to watch.
You look at them and go, no one would think they are passing.
Right. It's a much different context.
Because it's comedy, it works. Right. Exactly. They're not passing at all, but everyone is seeming like they're passing. Right. Right. I think that's part of the joke, really. Yep. And the other thing that I really liked, there's a documentary called, what is it? Does This Voice Make Me Sound Gay or something?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's a great movie. That's a really great movie.
I'm going to look it up now. But that was really cool. What did you think about that?
I mean, really, really incredible just to get people to think about where their sound came from and how we judge the perception of others and how your voice carries. So it really carries so much information, you know, we are paying attention to the melody of one's voice. We're paying attention to the percussiveness or the lack of percussiveness, the prosody of it swinging up or if it's staying more monotone, you know, and we all make kind of judgments about who that person is based on the mixture of what's been imprinted on their sound. So to kind of tease that out and question that, I think was incredible. I've had a couple of clients where they come in and that is what they're working on. They say, you know, for corporate America, I think I sound too gay. You know, I've had cis identifying, but queer males come in and tell me that. And it just breaks your heart.
It breaks my heart. Because I think at our house, we say the gayer, the better.
Yeah, absolutely. So it breaks your heart. But then you also kind of have to go, well, my job right now isn't to change you or your mind. I'm here to provide whatever is going to make you feel most supported in this moment. And if that's a tool to change your voice in that way, then be it. I hope that you don't feel you have to use that tool all the time.
Right.
Yeah. Hiding who you are is never fun.
No.
Yes, we all have experience with that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm sure a lot of our audience does too.
Yeah, especially if you're trans. Oh, here's the name of it. It's called Do I Sound Gay? That's what it's called. And you can watch it on Sling, Amazon Prime Video, Google Play, Apple TV, YouTube TV. It used to be on Hulu or something.
It was on Netflix. Hulu or Netflix originally, yeah.
I don't think it is anymore, which is too bad. But it's worth the $2, $3 that it costs to rent.
It's really interesting. Great. And there's a lot of crossover on that between what they discuss on that and what you discuss in a lesson. Getting those S's, if you want to sound more feminine, getting those S's further forward in your mouth, that kind of thing they talk about.
I found it really, because I was at that point when I was watching it, I was trying to pushing toward the masculine and he was doing the same thing I was, you know? He was trying to sound more manly and more straight and learning all those things about not doing all your consonants. Not pushing your voice forward.
Clients too, to you know, I'm of course there to serve in whatever capacity you need in terms of your vocal goals, but to always remember that the binary is not real, but these are very binary sounds and techniques and things that we're playing with, and you get to mix and match however you see fit.
Right.
Yeah. I loved that. I love that I could drop down and be more monotone and keep my S's forward. And, you know, if I want to sound like a gay man, then okay. All right, go queen.
Right. Absolutely. I mean, it's our speeches are, it's our everyday music, right? Of just having to each other. So you may as well get an instrument and work with an instrument that feels awesome to you as you're playing it.
Yeah. I love that idea. Well, it's been so cool talking to you, Catherine.
Thank you for taking the time to talk to us. We really appreciate it.
Of course. Absolute pleasure. You are two fabulous people. I'm so excited that you have this podcast. And if there's any way I can help folks, I'm here for it.
Awesome.
Okay. You want to tell us one more time
Yes, you can contact me, Catherine, the founder and co-creator of voicerevolution.com. I have another co-creator that is also a gender-affirming speech teacher, Alexa Gray, and we are excited to hear from you if we can help you. We have a once-a-month gender euphoria class that's just open, free community, ask us anything kind of a scenario. So if you just want to come hang out and say, hey, you can do that. If you want to sign up for a lesson, check us out.
And you don't have to leave the South to do it.
You don't. And we also offer justice pricing. So we have a sliding scale for folks. The hope is that we are creating interdependence. So if you have the means, you can pay a little more. If you've got resources, we got a mid price. If you need a little slide, we are here for that too. No questions asked, whatever you're needing.
So great.
That is so refreshing to hear.
Yes.
We are not about the gatekeeping as much as we are learning to undo that as much as we can.
Fabulous. Well, Catherine, thank you. It's so nice to talk to you.
It really is. Always a pleasure.
So lovely to speak with you both. It's so nice to see you.
Yes, it's great to see you too. It's been too long.
All right. Okay. We'll speak soon.
Love you. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye. If you want to connect with Catherine and Voice Revolution, that's www.voicerevolution.com and on Instagram at voice_revolution_. Thanks again to our friend Catherine for helping us out this episode.